Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my third week teaching on a subject that I've entitled, You've Already Got It, So Quit Trying to Get It. And we've got a brand new study guide. I've already had this album. This is a CD album. We also have a DVD album. We've had a book for a number of years on You've Already Got It. But now we have a new study guide entitled You've Already Got It. As you can see, it's a very thick study guide. And I'm really excited about the study guides because people are taking this teaching and reproducing it in other people. These are the things that have literally changed my life. And this teaching on You've Already Got It has to be number two or three on the things that God has shown me that have just revolutionized my life. So today is the end of my third week teaching on this, and it's the beginning of my fourth teaching in this six-part series that I've entitled You've Already Got It. And let me just go back and say that I've been trying to establish that the Lord has already done everything through Jesus that you will ever need done. If you need to be born again, you don't need the Lord to forgive you. He's already done that through Jesus. He's already paid. It's not a matter of will God forgive you. It's a matter of will you receive the forgiveness that has already been provided. And that is a major truth. You don't need God to heal you. God has already healed you. Will you receive the healing that God has already provided? You don't need God to prosper you. He's already prospered you. Will you receive the prosperity and begin to start operating in that faith and in that anointing? Everything has already been provided. And then this week, what I've been trying to do is to explain to people that all of this has happened in the spiritual realm. Because even though I've used so many scriptures and people can see that the Word says, like for instance, 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed, then they look at their doctor's statement, they feel in their physical body and they say, well, I don't care what the Bible says, here's reality. And I've been trying to establish that there is a spiritual world. There is a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual you. There's a part of you in the spirit that you can't feel, that you can't talk contact through any of your five senses. You have to use the sense of faith to be able to walk in it. And this is so important that you understand this. And as we were dealing with this, I used Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10 to show that Daniel received an answer to his prayer in less than 3 minutes. From the time he started praying, while he was still praying, the angel Gabriel appeared and answered all of his questions. That was in Daniel chapter 9. Then in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed again, and this time it took 3 weeks. Most people would say, why did God answer one prayer in 3 weeks and the other prayer in 3 minutes? The answer is God answered both prayers instantly at the beginning of the prayer, but the difference was that there was a demonic hindrance against his prayer in Daniel chapter 10, and Michael, the chief prince of the angels, had to come and help what God had already commanded to break through the demonic opposition. I talked about all of that in the last few days. And here's what I want to begin to start dealing with. All of these things that I've said, that God has already given everything, but it's in the spiritual realm. And whether it comes from the spiritual realm into the physical realm to where you can feel it, perceive it, benefit from it in your physical, natural body, is not an indication of whether God is faithful, but it's an indication of whether you can believe and draw these things into the physical realm. And there is demonic opposition against this. Well, this might lead some to talking about like spiritual warfare and how that, you know, the devil is fighting this and he's stopping all of these things. I believe in spiritual warfare. The Bible teaches spiritual warfare. But I differ on the way that a New Testament believer should do spiritual warfare than what is popular in the body of Christ today. I think that the vast majority of people are giving the devil way too much credit. They are ascribing to the devil power that he doesn't have and authority that he doesn't have. And actually, I think that the spiritual warfare, now again, this needs to be qualified because I believe that the Bible teaches spiritual warfare, but I think that the vast majority of people who are teaching and promoting spiritual warfare are actually doing damage by it, and they're actually being used by the devil to intimidate believers and cause a lot of problems. Now, those are some big statements that I've made right there, but I believe I'm going to be able to defend this and show you from the Word of God some things here that will make a huge difference in the way that you receive from God, in the way that you relate to God and to the devil. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, and if you have been watching my program throughout this entire series, I started by teaching that the book of Ephesians is written from a completely different paradigm than what most Christians have. Most Christians believe God is almighty and can do anything, but they don't believe He has done anything. That everything that we need, we've got to go and obtain it from God. We've got to beseech Him, ask Him, and wait on God to move. That is the typical way that Christians seek God today. But the book of Ephesians is written from a totally different paradigm, that God has already blessed us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we are already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, all the way down through verse 23, talks about that He just prays that our eyes would be open to what we already have. The exceeding greatness of the power that was given us, the same power that was used to raise Christ from the dead. This is already in us. It's not out there someplace. And see, this is important that you understand this because, again, the spiritual warfare people have taken scriptures like Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, and I used these verses this very week and taught on this. So there is a place for this, but they don't factor in the new covenant. And they take Daniel chapter 10, where the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood Daniel's answer to prayer, and there was this war going on in heaven, and Michael the archangel had to come and help. And so people have taken that, and today you will hear people teaching that there are demonic powers over cities and over nations and over regions, and that these demonic powers are blocking the power of God from getting through. I've actually heard people teach that there are demonic powers over a city and that you have to pray, and through prayer you clear a hole in the atmosphere spiritually to where your prayers can get up to God. And there are spiritual warfare conferences about all of this stuff. Again, there was a precedent for that in the Old Covenant. But what people are missing is that an Old Covenant person didn't have authority over the devil. And it was a completely different relationship with God and with the devil than the New Testament believer has. And in the New Testament, you know, you don't need your prayers to get through this atmosphere and up to God in heaven, because God now has moved to earth and God lives on the inside of each one of us. People will say things like, well, that prayer didn't get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayer to get above your nose because God lives here on the inside of you. This is why you bow your head when you pray, is so that you can look at God. You say, Father, amen. See, if all that be true, which the Bible says that it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are now the temple. Boy, there's just so much that Christians miss. You know, you'll hear praise and worship people often talk about, we're trying to get into the Holy of Holies and we've got to go past the brazen altar and we've got to do this. And they're talking about establishing the tabernacle of David. All of those things were appropriate in the Old Testament because Jesus hadn't come and reconciled us to God. God was still in heaven and man was still on earth. And all of those things were appropriate. But now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells inside of us, and we don't have to go past the brazen altar and past the laver and past all of these things and into the Holy of Holies. We're already there. Heaven has moved on the inside of us. And this whole concept of feeling that God is far off and that I got to get closer to Him and stuff is one of the reasons that Satan is beating our brains out, because we don't believe and understand the provision that God has already done it. We've already got it. God is already on the inside of us. We don't need to get our prayers up through the atmosphere and above the ceiling. God lives on the inside of us. And because of that reality, because of Christ in us, it's changed everything. No longer do we have to worry about this spiritual warfare in the heavens, because God has already given us everything. And there is a complete different way of doing spiritual warfare, dealing with the devil under the new covenant, than there was under the old covenant. Boy, that's a major difference. So again, Ephesians is written from this mindset that we've already got it. In Ephesians chapter 3, I didn't even mention this, but there is a prayer there. And it's praying similar to the prayer that was in Ephesians chapter 1, just that we'd already get a revelation of what we've already got. It's already done. And then it just continues. I wish I had time to teach all of these scriptures, but let me drop down to Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, this is a very important statement. It says that you need to put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is talking about lies, deception, deceit, craftiness. You can trace this all the way back to the book of Genesis. How did Satan come against Adam and Eve to tempt them? Did he come in the form of a lion or a tiger or a bear or a mammoth or something that was intimidating them? Did the mammoth, you know, put his foot on Eve's head and say, "You eat of that fruit or I'll kill you"? No, there wasn't any force like that. You know why? Because Satan had no power to force Adam and Eve to do anything. His only power was deception. Adam and Eve were the absolute rulers of this world. They were the ones that had total authority over all of the animals, over all of the beasts of the field. Satan could not force Adam and Eve to do anything. He can't force you to do anything. You know, Flip Wilson popularized this thing about the devil made me do it. That's a lie. The devil's never made anybody do anything. He cannot force you to do anything. Satan's only power, right here in this scripture, you can see it in other places, but it says that you have to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan's only power is deception. And deception only has any power against you if you don't know the truth. This is why the scripture says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. The only reason Satan can prey on anybody is because of their ignorance. And sad to say, spiritual warfare, again, there is a right spiritual warfare, but spiritual warfare, the way that it is primarily taught in the body of Christ, is imputing unto Satan authority and power that he doesn't have. It's not exposing Satan as a defeated foe whose only power is to lie and to deceive us. But no, spiritual warfare people actually impute to the devil that he has all of this power and authority. And because of it, Satan uses this wrong concept that is often promoted by the body of Christ to intimidate people and to overpower them. I'm telling you, you need to understand that Satan is a zero with the rim knocked off. That means he's a nothing. Amen. Satan has been defeated. Satan is a defeated foe. Does that mean that he's a non-factor? No. He's still alive, and he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter chapter 5. And so Satan is a factor, but it's only his lies and deceptions that allow him to do anything. And if we knew the truth and understood that he's a defeated foe, well then, yes, we can render him to where he's powerless. But the sad fact is, most people don't know this truth. Most people have missed the defeat of Satan in Scripture, and then you have people come along like the spiritual warfare people that actually start imputing power to the devil. You know, let me just say some things here. I am not against any person in the body of Christ. I've got some minister friends that I know. I can't say that I'm real close to them, but I know them. I've met them that are very strong in spiritual warfare. They're good people. They love God. But I believe that they're wrong in this area. There was a time in my life when I got into spiritual warfare really big. I was raised in a denomination, the Baptist denomination, that basically taught that Satan existed, but he was really not much of a factor, that all of the demons were in some third world, underdeveloped country, and that we never experienced such things as demons and stuff. And so that's the way that I was raised. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and started reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit just made it very clear to me through Scripture that, man, demons exist. Jesus cast demons out of people to get people healed. A lot of things that were going on behind the scenes were motivated and orchestrated by the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, talks about how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness isn't just organic. It's not all physical. I think that there are some physical things, but Jesus cast demons out of people to get people healed. He rebuked a fever in Peter's mother-in-law in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, and the fever left. He stilled storms. He rebuked them. He wouldn't have been rebuking his father. The storms can be demon orchestrated. There's lots of things that happen that are done by demons. And when I began to read the Word, and all of a sudden I became aware that, hey, I've been lied to. Right here in Ephesians chapter 6, we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are encountering demonic powers. And then the next verse says in verse 12, Ephesians 6, 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That verse and just many, many other verses, as well as the example of Jesus and the apostles in the book of Acts, show that there were demons and that they are alive and they aren't all in some underdeveloped country. You know, we've got people watching this program all around the world. And I don't know every culture and how they view the United States, but I can tell you that in the United States, most Christians think that all of the demons are in some foreign country someplace. They don't deny that the devil exists. They just don't think that he's really much of a factor and there aren't demons in the U.S. But I guarantee there's lots of demons in the U.S. Demons kind of take on the religious culture of the area that you're in. If you're in a culture that has witch doctors and the occult and all of this kind of stuff, then you'll see a lot of demonic manifestations in that. But if you're in a developed, civilized, sophisticated country, all of the demons are developed and sophisticated and they may blend in. They love to blend in. But I can guarantee you there's a lot of demons here. You know, let me just share with you that when I first got turned on to the Lord, I started reading. I became aware that there were demonic powers. And we had a young woman over in the church that I was going to, and this girl had come down from up north. She just was traveling, and she was a lesbian. She had all kinds of problems. She was more man than she was female. And anyway, through some of my friends, they witnessed her, and this girl got born again. And I mean, she got gloriously saved. But did you know that just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're instantly changed in your mind and in your body? She had a lot of messed up thinking, a lot of bad things wrong with her. And so anyway, we were trying to help her, and she was struggling with her old lifestyle and coming into the Christian lifestyle. And one day she was at work and something happened and she just flipped out. She just lost her mind. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know what her name was. Didn't know why she was at this place. Didn't know where she lived. She didn't know anything. It's just like she went totally blank. I believe that this was all the demonic stuff was trying to rise up and gain control. And anyway, somebody came up to her and called her name and said, "I'll meet you here after work. And, you know, you're carpooling with me and I'll take you home." And so she knew from that what her name was. She went with this person. When she got to the place that they dropped her off, she looked in her purse and she had some keys. And so she found out that one of them opened the place, and she just walked in and was sitting in her apartment. And she didn't show up for church like she normally did. So we went over and to see what was going on, and she didn't remember us. She didn't remember anything. Now, we had just become aware that there were demons, and we believe that this lesbian spirit that she had was demonic. And so we were dealing with this, and we believe that this was just demonic, what had happened. If we would have taken her to a doctor, to some government agency, they would have put her in a mental institution, doped her up, no telling what would have happened, and they wouldn't have dealt with the root of the problem. So we didn't know very much, but we just decided that this was demonic, that we could deal with it better than medicine could or a doctor could. So we locked her in a person's bedroom in their home, and we took shifts, 24 hours a day, staying with this woman trying to help her. And I mean, she was demon-possessed. She had some problems. I remember that we had her spread eagle on a bed because she was just screaming and yelling and doing things. And we were holding her, and she wasn't a small woman, but she was a woman. She shouldn't have been able to do this. And I remember I was holding her arm, me and this other guy, and we were holding her, and she had supernatural strength. And laying on a bed, she did like this and just threw her arm like that, and two of us guys that were nearly 200 pounds apiece threw us across the room and up against the wall. You know what? That's not normal. That's like in the Bible where Legion had this supernatural strength and could break chains. And anyway, we didn't know what we were doing, but we just knew that this was the devil. And so we would stand and pray and sing songs and do things. And over 7 days, we had, I don't know, 15 or 20 demons come out of this woman. And she was just totally delivered. Her memory returned. She was set free. And we began to realize that a lot of things that people are trying to deal with in the natural are actually spiritual in origin. And so we just kind of got thrown into this. We didn't know what we were doing. It just happened. And the news about this began to spread. And you know what? People started coming to us. We had a lot of homosexuals, lesbians, drug addicts. We saw people who were on drugs. This would have been back in the late 60s, early 70s. And there was a lot of drug addicts that would come to us, and we would pray with them and bind the spiritual power that was in them and see people delivered from drugs. I mean, heroin addictions, and they would be instantly set free and not have to go through withdrawals. And we began to see miracles like this happen. And even though that was good, it set us up for some problems because we were so focused on the devil that it got us in trouble. And you know what? I'm out of time today. But on my programs next week, I'm going to continue and I'm going to share with you some of the things that I learned and show you how that I have come to realize that Satan has been stripped of all of his power. He is toothless. And if you understand that his only power against you is deception, then you can do spiritual warfare completely different than the way that it's being done in the body of Christ today.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
1/3 of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies and take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Kairos Christian Center Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 3rd through the 7th, in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 24th through the 26th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Triumphant Procession, free of charge. A condensed version of You've Already Got It is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.